This is a section that in the main building, there's a section that talk about how to deliver God's words, teach people the tips, and it was really good. I like it. So I walk around. After that, I walk around and have lunch, and then I walk around again. I went to the outside campus, classrooms, and they were talking about the other one is talking about vision, the power of vision in your local church. I walk in. I didn't plan all this. I just walk around and see, this is good. I just walk in. And it was really good, really good, but it was cold. The classroom was so cold. And I didn't put on my jacket yet. I was thinking that, wow, I have nobody putting on a jacket. I better not do it. So I did not put a jacket. I was shivering. And then I said, okay, after that, I'm going to other places that I'm going to be nice, and I will not. I will wear my jacket. So I wear my jacket, and I go to North Campus, and I went into another seminar. I was walking around. I just have no plan. And so happened, it also gave me this workshop called Church Hurts. I said, wow, this is good. This is good stuff. And I got all these notes and everything, and I still so cold. So I said, I cannot. It was around 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. I said, I cannot stay here. No. I cannot even go to... I cannot wait for the 7 p.m. sessions. I have to go home. Because I'm so cold, I'm shivering, I'm running nose, I go home, I went home, and I have a good warm bath. My wife said, go get a hot bath, and then have rice, and then go to bed. So I did. So I missed the second general sessions. And then after I have a good night's sleep, I said, no, I have to go for the Saturday sessions. So I wake up early, I go 9 o'clock, I'll be there already, and I met Leslie, Scott, Angela, and Devon, and they're all there. I was telling Leslie, come on, Leslie in the front. This guy, Brian, he's the lead pastor from Silicon Valley. He is good. Wow. Amen. It was really good. They were so good. So all of them are very, very good, and then we have a good time, and everything is there. But today I want to share is what I find what Rene, the first pastor, first general sessions, talk about. He did a survey. I bought two CDs, the first section and the second, last section. Rene Shiver and Ryan's sermons. I digitized it, and I put it into the computer here. So anybody who wants to download it to your cell phone, whatever, burn a CD. You can go over there and somebody could help you to copy to your cell phone. It was very good sermons that they did. I want to share more about Rene's sessions, but I don't have much time, so I just do a brief. And my brief, it will not be as good as what he said. Not even 10% as good as he said. He used to be a radio broadcaster. And he joked about his names when he started. It was Icebreaker. It was very funny. And then he talked about workers, pastors, volunteers, Sunday school teachers, how the U.S. Church people, not only workers. I mean, like, if we are delivering God's words to everybody. We are already the teachers. We are the workers of Jesus Christ. So everybody here is the workers of Jesus Christ. So to me, it applies to everybody here. And he said, survey said, most of us are work so hard to get the job done. We have to deliver the word. We have to make sure that everybody understands what God is here for us. And we live out the joy of doing it. We just want to perform. We want to do the best we can. If we cannot do this, we have to do this. If we have to do that, we have to do that. We overwhelm ourselves. And somehow we just cannot get things done. He said, we are trying to so hard. He asked God, why? And I cannot get an answer. I try so much. I pray. I do a devotion. I meditate. I talk to everybody. I go clean up the garbage, but I still cannot get things done. God, what happened to me? After a while, after 2 days, 3 days, still fine. You can still keep on going. After years, months, and you cut, I don't know what to do. God, where are you? Are you forsaken me? Where are you? I cannot get in touch with you. That's what he has. So he said, okay, I'm not going to be a broadcaster anymore. I want to be a pastor so that maybe it will give me the better way to communicate with God and deliver the message and do the right thing so that I need to be performing. So he said, I will be pastor. And he said he become a bad pastor. He said he's a bad dog pastor. Because what he did is he tell people to do better. You have to do better. You're a bad dog. And then all the people in this church go home convicted and say, I am a bad dog. I have to do more. I need to do more. What can I do to make God please, to please God? To please God and please my co-workers and please everybody in this church so that I can be better. Performance. We need performance. How come we cannot do this? So that's what he said. And then one day, he was trying to do his past sermon. He was working late, and he's doing what he can do and stuff like that, and he still cannot do it, and he feel very sad. And he told his wife, he said, I want to quit. I want to quit my life. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to go somewhere else. Nobody knows me. I just don't care. And then he go back and start doing his sermon. And he was trying to talk about Galatians that day, so he's preparing the sermon, Galatians. So in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, and he finds that God is telling him, through Paul, God tells him that he is not delivering the Bible correctly. He is delivering the Bible as what a man sees what the Bible is, but not what the Bible means. Because the Bible means it's good news, but he's not reading the good news. He's reading the fake gospel. Fake gospel does not give you that the Bible is, the gospel is good news. And he down on him and said, yeah, I've been reading Bible wrong. I do not have the heart to read the Bible. I do not have the joy to read the Bible. I do not try to find out who God is, how I love God, and how God loved me. And then he turned on him and he said, wow, this is what I've been doing. And in Galatians 3, verses 3, next one, and it's talk about, Paul is saying, yeah, how come you're so foolish? You are supposed to do what the Spirit tells you to do, but you are doing what your flesh tells you to do. You want performance. I want to do better, better. No, God doesn't tell you to do all that better. You're supposed to enjoy. You're supposed to have joy to do it. If you have joy and love to do it, it's the Spirit wants you to do, not performance. If you cannot do that, God tells you, don't do that. Enjoy it. Do something you like. Do something that God tells you to do. God is your Father. He wants you to enjoy. He doesn't want you to stress out and be sick and don't want to talk about God anymore. I did that before. I said, no, I don't want a God because God doesn't give me anything. I didn't realize that God gave me joy. I did not know that. He told me that. And Galatians 4:15. And he said, where is the joy? People are using BC work, try to find new knowledges to substitute the joy of knowing God, to substitute the joy of reading the gospel. Somebody use conviction. Because conviction at least gives you the feeling. You feel bad. But we lost it. We lost the joy. And on Galatians 5:4, You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. We try to substitute everything. We are alienating ourselves from Christ because we lost the joy of Christ. We lost the joy of Christ in our heart. That's why we become tired, anger, especially anger. I was angry. Here's my testimony. I was so angry. I angry at everything because I don't have joy in my heart for Christ. I said, how come you guys are so stupid? But now I realize I'm a fool. I'm stupid. I told Marlene, I said, a long time. Said, I'm less stupid now. But I'm still stupid. Galatians 4, 6, 7. We talk about you don't have to perform to please God because you are the child of God. You are not a slave. The between the slave and the child is that slave is you have to seek the master's approval. You want master's love so that you have to do what master wants you to do and you have to do it constantly to seek the approval. But for a child of God, you do not need to seek approval because father always loves you. You can do whatever you want, but don't sin. But you can do whatever you love. But if for love, if you have love for your father and for love for your neighbors, you will never sin. You have joy to do that, you have never sinned. Sin just disappear. I stopped doing that. I stopped thinking about that. Everything I try to do, everything I try to say, I think about that. So what can we do to get the fruit of the Spirit, which is 5:22? The fruit of Spirit is joy, love, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I decided to recite this, so I recite it every day, so I can remember it. He said, you can get the fruit of Spirit by walking with the Spirit, which is chapter 5, 35. And every step, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So it's just, he gave an example. It's a very good example. He said, people listen to music, and this worship team do the music, and you dance and clap their hands and very happy, right? And then people who cannot listen, they saw you very happy and clapping, so they do the same thing. They say, oh yeah, clapping. This guy looks happy, so he can clap, clap, and dance. But after a while, because there's no music associated with him, then he said, it's boring. I will not feel happy because I just clap. I will not feel happy, I just jump. Because he did not listen to music. The spirit is the music. If you cannot connect to the Spirit, there's no joy. So he said, what is the music? He said, music is the gospel. You have to do everything, and also you have to listen to the music. You have to walk with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 19. That's how we can. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Filled with Holy Spirit. There's so much you can feel with Holy Spirit. And hopefully every one of us can feel with the Holy Spirit from now on and enjoy the love of God. And you will be so happy. Thank you very much, Lord. Thank you. And Scott!
Thank you, Patrick. Toby and Naomi, come up here. Is Micah there? Come on up here. And you're Tobias and you're Toby, so come up here. You too, Toby, Tobias. That's what we do in the youth class. We had to, because they're both called Toby, we're calling the big Toby Tobias, because that's your legal birth name, right? Okay, great. So I want you guys to take your artwork from last Sunday and hold it up. Angela, you want to come up here and hold mine? Because I want them to see mine. Hold that. Last Sunday in the youth class, this is Toby Huang. What's going on here? Emily's not here, but she actually had two. She did that in a short period of time. Hold Emily. Yeah. So, great. And Elliot's not here. And I've got a vial of sand. You can see the little sand here. Okay. It's full of grains of sand. And it says on it, Psalm 139, 17 and 18. If you can pull that up. It should be up there. Rogelio had it set. So my first session was children's ministry, and it was teaching like Jesus. And she was a very anointed teacher. And it was about object lessons and how important it is, teaching, how important that is. And this kind of captured my attention because Joseph a year ago, asked a few of us to go through children ministry teaching, and Bob and Karen Shree from the other church came over. And so Rogelio, Robert, Scott, and I were, I think, the only ones that kind of grinded through this several weekends of teaching, and it was really good. So I attended a children's ministry to teach us how to be teachers like Jesus. And I'm sharing this because why don't you guys read this with me? How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So I didn't realize that the day after Bass, I was going to have to teach. So I came to class with a vial of sand. And I decided to read this verse, and that was the lesson for last Sunday. And we just listened to some instrumental music, and I had them draw these. These are supposed to be drawings of the ocean and the sand. You see, that's my sand down here. Do you guys have sand on yours too? Yes. So I think one of the main messages from Bass and Patrick sharing and the worship today is for us to remember how precious God, he's got so many thoughts for us. And they outnumber all the grains of the sand, you can't count them. So I've got a lot more to share from Bass, and I'm going to lose a lot of you with some of these thoughts, but I want you to remember how vast God's thoughts are for you and how much he loves you, okay? So thank you. You guys can sit down and take your drawings and share them with your family before they get lost. So yesterday morning, we had a prayer meeting, and it's been nice this last month because attendance has been good. And in the prayer meeting yesterday, Joni pulled out the brochure, and she wanted us to review a few things on the back, including our vision, mission, strategy, and core values. And there's one core value that just jumped out at me, and I think is one of the main messages that I think God wants us to know, and that's about teamwork. And so various speakers at the conference had talked about teamwork. So in my limited time of sharing, I am going to talk a little about teamwork, and I'm also going to talk about something called appreciative inquiry. How many of you have heard of the term appreciative inquiry? Anybody? Nobody? Wow. So I wasn't sure if I would, Dan or Rahili were going to be able to pull up a slide I have. It's called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And I'm going to hand this out, but this is for you to take notes on. And I don't know if Dan can make that any better, and I've got my reading glasses, so I'm just going to kind of slide over. But what I want to first draw your attention to is the top of the triangle. Do you see what it says? Can you read that? It says results. You see, when teams come together, they're supposed to have results. I think God wants us to have results. And I think it's very dangerous, too, and Patrick talked about this, is how we can get absorbed with performance. Okay? What are results? You know, I think for this church body, I think one thing God's really looking for, and I think we're doing it really well, is worship. Is Irene sitting in the back? These are my reading glasses. I tell you, I think we're doing that really well. Thank you, Irene and Dan. I think a church body is also called to do things like discipleship and transformation. And I think we're doing okay there. I think that's probably an area that we get a little too content with. I think we've made some progress, but I think we've got more room to grow. Because dying to ourselves is not easy. I think a church body with results also involves community. And I think we do a pretty good job with community. I love our potlucks when we come together. I love our small Bible studies when we come together. I think this is an area we can probably do a little better at, though. Yesterday morning, I was sharing with a group that we're a very friendly lot. We're all friendly people, but when we're doing church, church is about not just being friendly, but it's about making friends. And there's a difference between being friendly and making friends. Results in a church, it's so important with teaching. And I didn't realize this. I mean, I've always loved information and great teaching, but sermons, there's real power in a sermon. A well-prepared, fantastic sermon. I think we've had a lot of that, and we probably need more. Missions. Church really needs missions. I'm not sure that we're doing that well in this department. One of the sessions, Pastor Roy from Life Lutheran had a representative in the missions workshop. Her name's Judy Leong. And she talked about the Life Lutheran churches have 17 different mission organizations they're supporting, and they've got a lot of money and support behind it. And I was pretty impressed. But at the same time, she was vulnerable, which is good for us to be, forming teams, having vulnerability, is that sometimes it was just maybe too much. Maybe they started to perform too much. But the point is, with results on teams and church, missions needs to be a priority. So what are you looking at here? This is, you know, as I share this too, you know, I think as we discern God's agenda and try to have servant hearts, we need wisdom too. And so I think teamwork is very important. I don't know if any of you have been on any high-performance teams. Have any of you been on any high-performance teams before? Marlene, I was thinking of you this morning because, you know, Kaiser's been around for almost 100 years. They have figured out how to deliver, right, health services, right? I mean, they're serving 700 to 1,000 people a day just prescribing medications, right? And there's a whole system set up for that. High-performance teams, they're comfortable asking for help. They're admitting mistakes and limitations. They take risks, and they offer feedback. They tap into one another's skills. They avoid wasting time and talking about wrong issues. And they avoid revisiting the same topic over and over again. They make high-quality decisions. They accomplish more in less time with few resources. They put critical topics on the table and have lively meetings. They align the team around common objectives, and they retain important people, high-performance teams. So one of our core values is teamwork, and I feel like for us to move forward, we need to really figure out how to do this. And this pyramid, in order to have results, you have to have trust. And often, teams, and I'm not just talking about ourselves, this goes on at Wells Fargo, where I work. It happens in a lot of organizations. There's the absence of trust. Without trust, you can't move on to what's called dialogue, good dialogue. You see, we often on teams have artificial harmony, and that's because people fear having conflict. 90% of people fear conflict. I'm not one of them, except when it's with my wife. When I'm at home, I fear conflict. Which is why, while I was in the children's ministry teaching object lessons, my wife wasn't prepared for the first session. So she asked my advice. What should she attend? Now, I had already surveyed the workshops, and there's one that was titled End Fights Before They Start. So I sent my wife to that class, and I felt so good about it, especially when she came out of the workshop with a smile on her face. This is really important. I think we get some artificial harmony among teams, and when you have that and you don't really talk about the truth, you are unable to get commitment from the team. And with a lack of commitment, there's ambiguity. And when you don't have commitment, there's the avoidance of accountability and low standards. And then there's an inattention to results. So I think this is one of the things that God wants us to know, how important teamwork is. And I think it's really, trust is foundational, but we have to be willing. And I think we did last month when we were together as a church body, and Christine said, "Can I say something?" And she said, "I think we need some kind of a board or some kind of some accountability." So I think we're starting to have this dialogue, but I think we need to have more of it. And I'm still not clear if we're meeting today and we're going to talk about it. We do, we don't, that's fine. But I'm just saying, teamwork as a core value is so important. There are five dysfunctions of a team. Here they are. Now, I have so much more to say, but there's only 21 minutes. But we have this too. Okay, here's the next. I'm not going to go through this, but I'm going to just pull out a couple things. So if you could hand those around. This is one of the last sessions. Can I have a glass of water, please? One of the sessions I attended was called The Power of the Next Step. Now, because I think we're trying to figure out what is our next step. Thank you. Last night, I was thinking I was going to have you fill in all the answers. That ain't going to happen. But on the first page, item six says, losing forward momentum. I've been a part of this church for over 20 years, and so many times we start to generate some momentum, and then one thing or another happens, and we just lose that momentum. Guess what? This is common in life and ministry. But I feel that momentum is important for us to generate and to sustain. I'm not going to go through all of these common problems in life and ministry. If you want the answers, see me later. The next section is called, what is the next step in thinking and planning? Now, this, I think, is important. Item number two, it's envisioning a preferred future. So one of the things I felt God wanted me to share with you today is something called appreciative inquiry, also known as AI. If you turn the page and go to seven, item seven says it's presenting a positive posture. Dan, if you could put up Philippians 4, 8, and 9. I think this is the other thing God wants us to know. Let's read this together. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's good. There was another workshop called Positive Thinking. And by the time Angela got through her first workshop, she decided she was going to make decisions on her own, what she wanted to attend. I had picked this for her, and coincidentally, she picked it as well, but there's so many good workshops, you can't just go to them all. So she decided to send me to this class. But I didn't want to go to this class, so she wanted me to get the handout. And that whole workshop was built on this, you know, based on this one verse. And I share this with you because there is a concept within organizations. I don't know if you're familiar with organizational change or organizational development. It's a big thing among big churches and big corporations. They hire a lot of management consultants. They pay them a lot of money to help them process change. Okay? And I didn't know this. But there's, within the OD world, there's OD practitioners, organizational development practitioners, and they come into for-profit organizations and nonprofits, and they help them focus on the positive. It's all on the positive. And for me, on the five dysfunctions of the team, I could never get beyond this conflict because most people don't want conflict and they just kind of avoid it. But God is revealing to me, look, we can have a dialogue around what is truth and what is good, and we can do this in a loving manner. And that's appreciative inquiry, okay? I sense that's probably an area that we need to move into. And I'm just going to park right here. I feel like we as a body, we've got a lot of gifts and talents and skills and experiences, but we're not. I play basketball on Sunday nights, and Luke, I'm not sure if you're coming over today or not, because I don't know if we're having a meeting or not, but we love watching the Warriors together, and there's a big game today. They play well as a team. They pass, they trust, they communicate, they run, they rest. I feel like we need to set aside a few hours, a half a day on a Saturday. We might even need some help with an OD practitioner to help us figure this out. Because I think there's a lot of potential for this body. There's a lot of love here. But I feel like for us to be a high-performing team, we're going to have to talk about, we're going to have to imagine a little more together and work on this. So, enough said. Thank you, Joseph, for allowing me to share today. I'm going to turn it over to you.
I really appreciate Patrick and Scott share with us a lot of goodies, huh? Thank you. Once a month we have the Holy Communion. It's a time, it's really exciting. Remind us we are children of God, right? We are in the same family, same team. So I'd like to invite you to read a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and 23 to 29, and we can switch our focus a little bit. Just now we learned about from the best convention, so now we switch to what Christ had done for us. Apostle Paul tried to address to the church of Corinth about the Holy Communion. Let's read together. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eat the bread or drink the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. I think, Marlene and I, we went to the Holy Land pilgrimage, and we did go to a lot of places where Jesus was. We went to the where Jesus had the Last Supper. We went there and, followed Jesus' footsteps. He really sacrificed for us. And today we are here. We're going to take the bread and cup. Jesus had died for us. We talk about our power team, efficient team. We try to expand the kingdom, but we need to start with the foundation, right? The foundation is, Irene also shared with us in today's worship, what is our identity? Are we children of God?
Yes.
That's very important. I think that we want to church be effective on one hand, but on the other hand, we are not. We don't want to be performance-oriented. That's a divine balance. It's not easy. And I see the solution for that is to know who we are. Amen? We really love the Lord. We have a strong relationship with the Lord. Our ministry will be fruitful. Our life will be powerful. Will impact people. People will come. So today, we're going to take this bread and cup. You know, this bread refers to the body Jesus has been broken for each one of us. Through his brokenness, we can be healed. Amen? Our relationship with one another can be healed. Our relationship with God can be healed. And this cup referred to the blood Jesus Christ being shed for each one of us. Through his blood, our sin can be forgiven. When we sin, there's a sense of guilt and shame, right? But in this, one more time to remind us, you and I are the children of God. And Jesus wants us to do this, continue to do this until he returns. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you are excited that you are children of God? And because of that, we are worthy. Amen? Children of God, I invite you to participate in this. But the Apostle Paul also instructs the church of Corinth, this is a holy sacrament. Before we take this bread and cup, we need to examine ourselves. Ask the Lord's forgiveness. Okay? So I invite all of you who has been baptized unto the body of Jesus Christ to come forward, take the bread and cup. And when you take it, you go back to your seat. You stand there. You ask the Lord to forgive you for the thing you have done wrong to people and to God. And give thanks to him about one more time about you as the children of God. How about we from the back line up, we come forward, we take the bread, and we take the cup.